India is a giant country, about 80 times bigger than Switzerland and the seventh largest in the world. I went there to get a sense of how healthcare works, in particular, the availability and affordability of medicine. How far removed is India from Basel, home of the headquarters of Swiss drug giants Novartis and Roche? I started my journey on the southeast coast, in a small town called Mamallapuram. It has fresh seafood, UNESCO-recognized stone monuments, and a well-respected hospital. The fish restaurants and the temples were easy to spot, but I walked right past the hospital when I first tried to find it. This, even though it's painted bright orange. I guess I was looking for something larger and more formal, but Suradeep Hospital is small, 2 stories tall, and with beds for just 20 patients. That afternoon, the waiting room had more than 20 people inside, including several children. I hesitated in the doorway a moment, unsure whether to remove my sandals, as many others had done. I didn't in the end. To me, it feels weird to go barefoot in public. With my pale skin, it was obvious that I was a foreigner, who didn't really know how things worked. An old man told me to get a token from the receptionist, who was hidden around the corner. In fact, the token was just a little square of cardboard snipped from a package of medicine. It had the number 11 written on the back, meaning I was the 11th person in line. The doctor, a woman in her 40s wearing an orange sari, asked me to come back later that night when it would be less busy. When she told me her name, Indira Gandhi, I thought she was kidding.
Because my father is a politician, so I was born on the day she was elected as a prime minister. So all the political leaders came to my house because my father is a politician belonging to the Congress party. So, you know, all of them, they named me like this, Indira Gandhi, to be like to more of service to the people. So when I was born, they told, and my father also said, okay, you should be a doctor or a politician. I said, no, I'll be a doctor to make the service to the community.
That was her dog you heard howling in the background. Normally, he dozes under her desk, but he growled at me because I was a stranger, so Dr. Gandhi put him in another room. She's been running Suradeep Hospital for 20 years, and she works very long hours because she's the only doctor on staff.
Our doors are open. They can come, they can talk to me. I decide the consulting fees. According to the socioeconomic state. People, gypsies coming, I make free consultation. They have to pay only for the medicine. Understand? We try to give sometimes our samples. We receive some samples from the medicine company. We try to give. And some good medicines we try to charge, you know, when it's very costlier. Okay. And a tourist comes, according to the socioeconomic state, I charge 10 rupees, sometimes 20 rupees. And people have money, when they have insurance, they want a bill, we can charge even 50 rupees as consulting fees. So this hospital, because it's like a trust, we charge according to the socioeconomic state. And the medicine also, we want to give the full medicine, you know, like when the patient need, whatever they need, like antibiotics, anti-inflammatories, according to the disease, according to the condition, we give the medicine. And we want to give the best quality. The cost price in India is, definitely, it's affordable, okay? Comparing other countries.
Very affordable in her state, Tamil Nadu anyway. But not all Indian states are the same, as I learned from a lobbyist and doctor living in Karnataka, a neighboring state. Logistics and schedules prevented us from meeting in person, but I talked to Gopal Dabade on the phone. As the co-convener of the All India Drug Action Network, he's fighting for better access to medicine across India.
The cost of the medicine in India, you know, is making people to fall into debt. You know, if you meet a villager, he will say that his mother was unwell and he had to take her to the nearest hospital, and he spent such a huge amount of money on medicines. It's something like 60% to 70% of the expenses on medicines. And then for that, he has to sell his cattle, or he has to sell his land, or he has to sell his house, or maybe whatever little property he has got.
He said the Indian government should increase its overall spending on healthcare. He also called for more regulation of the private sector, including how Swiss drug companies such as Roche and Novartis do business in India. In fact, I'd arranged to visit Novartis in Mumbai at the end of my trip, but until then, I still had some time to relax a bit. I headed to Kerala, a west coast state famous for its coconut tree forests and its tradition of Ayurveda. I checked into an Ayurvedic Echo Lodge, where I had a brief consultation with a staff doctor. She was young, just 24, and very earnest. Because I was only staying for a couple of days, there was no time for a big detox program. So instead, Dr. Nimi prescribed a rejuvenation massage. I asked her about the products that would be used on me.
We have different oils, but we will use, depending on the body condition, depending on the person's body type and physical conditions, we will use a different. And this is mainly for healing. This is very good for trauma. It is totally a herbal preparation. And it is very commonly used in all kinds of massages we are using. And this is Dhanvantaram Thailantara. It is mainly, it has a rejuvenation and revitalization capacity.
When I arrived at the rustic thatch-roofed clinic, a brisk but kind therapist named Sunita greeted me. I had to take all my clothes off so she could baste me in oil and powdered spices. At one point, I had to lie face down on the floor while she rubbed my back with her feet. And I thought, not only did I volunteer for this, I'm paying for it. She then tucked me into a wooden box so I could have a steam bath. For that, I had to sit on a little stool with only my head poking out through a hole in the top of the box. After she let me out, Sunita gave me a thorough scrub down with a paste made of green beans. She washed it off by dousing me in pail after pail of very hot water. Relaxing? Not at all. Rejuvenating? I suppose so. My skin felt great at first, but the oils, the heat, and the humidity ganged up on me and I got a rash. Dr. Nimi gave me another oil to apply, but it was a horrible yellow color that threatened to stain my clothes, so I didn't use it. Besides, I figured I wouldn't sweat so much in Mumbai, some 1,200 kilometers north. Mumbai's climate was lovely, but the traffic was hideous. I hired a driver who told me to budget up to 2 hours for getting from point A to point B in the city, depending on location and time of day. I don't know how he can bear to do it for hours on end. My first stop was Bombay Hospital, a large and modern private establishment. I had an appointment with Dr. Prema Kania, a gynecologist and obstetrician willing to talk about her views on the pharmaceutical industry. She told me that some drug companies were quite cooperative when it comes to sharing research data or giving discounts for needy patients. We also talked about drug patents and the need for inexpensive generics.
No, it is the norm that you lose the patent after a certain time. But here the thing is that within that time also, we like to, in a sense, the Indian government says that we have the right to produce a cheaper drug. Maybe not exactly the same formula, maybe a little tweaked formula here or there. But the cheaper version should be available in India, which is more affordable. Maybe if a drug costs... you must also remember that this discrepancy is partly because the rupee or dollar or rupee or euro issue. In the sense that it goes in the conversion. So much money goes in the conversion that it becomes a lot of money. And therefore, if a cheaper rupee version is available, there is a lot of pressure from non-government organizations, those who work for patients and all, that cheaper version should be available.
Around the corner, she and I popped into a drugstore. I asked the pharmacist whether there were people who couldn't afford medicine.
Yeah. Sure, 100%, because there are so many people who are in low category, they don't afford that much, but they are trying.
With Dr. Kania interpreting, I also asked the manager what he did if customers asked for generic substitutions to save money.
I will give brand name only.
He will probably call the doctor if the doctor is available on the phone, that the patient wants a cheaper choice. Should I substitute the cheaper one? Or will you allow me to substitute the cheaper one? Then yes, or else the patient, if the doctor is nearby, known to him, the patient is known to him, the patient will carry both the brands to the doctor and say, okay, may I take the cheaper one?
So what do drug makers think about the debate over patents and pricing? To find out, I visited Novartis India and asked Ranjit Shahani, the vice chairman and managing director. He defended the price of medication.
To develop a new drug, today, it costs anywhere between $2 to $3 billion. And the reason is because of the high degree of failure on the process to discovery. You start in year 1 and year 15 only you get a new chemical entity. And on the way, you have to do phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 clinical trials. A lot of this costs money. And what is a pharma company? A pharma company is an investment made by stakeholders, you and me. And we will look for a fair return on the investment. And if this money has been spent, the investor is looking for a return. Otherwise, the investor will run away. The pharma company will have no money, therefore no research, no drugs for new unmet medical needs. That's a cycle.
Mr. Shahani also said that the pharma industry was only one piece of India's healthcare puzzle.
Healthcare in total is a big, big challenge. But we need multiple stakeholders to come together, to be aligned together. It's just not about pharma industry. It's about healthcare professionals, the hospitals, the NGOs, the government, the infrastructure. I think we have some long way to go in India. We have pockets of excellence, but there's a long way to go otherwise.
Not too far from Novartis, I visited King Edward Memorial Hospital, which is run by the local government. It was a bit scruffy, but it seemed well organized. There I chatted with some of the people I found waiting around, like the woman whose husband is mentally ill.
Oh, that is not curable, but we have to take long-time medicine.
And what kind of... Is it tablets?
Or? It's tablets only. So now the Sun Pharma is issuing us free of course for these people for sake of the... save of the life of that patient.
Well, then he's quite lucky that he's eligible to get that.
Yeah, sure.
And will he have to take it then probably for the rest of his life or...?
So the rest of their life, we have to continue the medicine only. Otherwise, it is not possible to survive.
And the couple struggling to pay for the husband's heart medication.
In a different medicine in a different cost. 200, 230. 1 week, only 10 tablets.
You have to pay from your own pocket. Or does the government pay for it?
No, government may personal.
Does your doctor... say you have to keep taking it, or could you take maybe a generic, cheaper one, or do you have any options, or do you just have to follow the program?
Doctor said no option.
But the future looked brighter for a younger couple.
She's pregnant, Ajay.
Oh, you're pregnant?
She's having a good news.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. So how do you find the care? Has it been good so far?
Yeah, it's good here.
Yeah?
The regulators, what are their functions are doing here, is very good here.
And when are you due?
Sorry?
When is the baby coming?
It's October.
October, how nice. Now, do you need to take any kind of medicine or vitamins before?
Yeah, that's going on about the folic acid, that is iron for the iron deficiency, which is regular.
Well, I wish you very good luck then with your good news.
Yeah, and, thank you.
Take care, thank you.
With any luck, maybe the general healthcare situation in India will be more equitable by the time their child grows up. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Susan Fogle-Masika.